Bring greetings in Christ's name again this morning. It's good to be here again. Appreciate what we've heard. Appreciate the word, the way the word was brought, shared, and the aspect of truth, and that truth is truth. It doesn't matter. Nothing changes that. So we're thinking about a self-examination, or there's a couple verses I looked up, and there's two verses in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, I'll just read a couple verses there, starting at 27. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So that's one portion. There's another one in 2 Corinthians. It says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." That's in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? The thing that, reading those verses, that kind of stood out to me, it says, examine yourselves. And we call this a self-examination service. I came across a writing on what the examination should focus on. It says folks should focus on on three points: the individual's relation to God, the agreement with the interpretation and practice of Scripture as understood by the group, and the relationship with fellow believers. And then it gives a couple questions. It says, do you have the witness in your heart that your relation toward God is one of obedience and peace? Are you at peace with your fellow man as far as you have knowledge or insofar as it lies within your power? Are you in harmony with the doctrines of the Bibles interpreted by this congregation? Do you have the desire to participate in the communion service? So, as we think of examining ourselves this morning, you know, as I thought about this, and you know, really, it's me. This is where we need to be looking at ourselves. You know, where do I find myself? And it's not something that we should wait till council meeting or this service to examine ourselves. But I think it's good for us to occasionally take an extra look at things. You know, it's that way in a lot of other areas of life. A little bit of examining and keeping track of things. Those of you that run machinery, every now and then you'll go over that machine and as make sure things are in place. A lot of trouble can be saved with a little bit of examination and looking at things and making sure everything's lubed and making sure the bolts and nuts are all tight and before something falls off. So I think it's right in our own lives to take special care and special time of looking, searching on our own hearts. Entitled the message, I'm taking out of Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to turn there, we'll be reading several verses out of Hebrews chapter 12. Titled the message, "Lay Aside Every Weight." Taken from that first verse there, last part of it. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I'd like to read the first 16 verses. As we start off there, we think of the wherefore. And it's looking back into the last passage, and he's giving all the chapter 11, the many that were faithful, Old Testament people that were faithful. And he says, starts out 12 verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye without chastisement, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, or as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee again, and we look into Your Word, as we search our hearts, Lord, just pray that You might help us to be open, and let the truth of Your Word reveal to us the things that we fall short in, the things that we need to grow in. Lord, that we might grow more and more like You and seek to be like You. And we just pray for each one here and pray for those that can't be here because of sickness and other reasons. We just pray Your blessing on each one today. And just help us to, as we go throughout the service, pray that it might be a blessing and encouragement to a closer walk with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the apostle is talking here, I believe, alluding to the, talking about a race, laying aside every weight, to the Olympian, to get to those games. And, you know, along that highway where they ran, where they had different competitions there. Running was one, boxing, wrestling, different things. But they had plates out there, the marble plates where the names of the winners were inscribed on there, and that was what their goal was, to be a winner, have their name put there. The crowns were very perishable. Paul mentions that, you know, the crown. He talks about the crowns that they don't last. But there was a lot of people came from all over the place to watch these games, and you know these racers were fit. They had spent a lot of time, racers, boxers, or whatever they were. They had spent a lot of time preparing. They were careful what they did. What they ate, their exercise, their sleep, all that was taken in consideration. Everything was put into this race or this whatever the competition was. They were alert and waiting for that blast from the trumpet to sound to go, and everything was quiet from the spectators, you know, till that blast went off and the racers were off like an arrow. They'd trained for months. You know, there was a lot put into it. But this was a race that was very little to be gained. There was prestige. There was, you know, their name would get written down. They got a little crown. But there wasn't much in the end. They were forgotten. You know, the Christian race is also a race that takes everything we have. Self-denial, concentration, ambition, endurance to the end. But how often do we find ourselves not taking things seriously, not taking this race seriously? You know, maybe we let ourselves, maybe it's because it's not, the race is so long, you know, like Pilgrim there, you know, he kept watching for that city, wanting to get to that city. But along the way, things distracted him. Things would, he'd let himself be lured to the side. You know, we find it, and when he did that, he got himself in trouble. You know, in our In our Christian lives, isn't it the same way? We let things around us, we let discouragement, whatever it can be, just simply letting the allurements of the things around us, the things that the world deems important, become important to us, take priority in our lives. But it's, you know, that the Christian race is, in a sense, much like that race. Everything needs to be pointed toward that city, toward the goal. We need to keep our focus on what we want. That's really what's going to last. You know, those around us know where our hearts are. They know, they can see by the things that are important to us. You know, maybe it's compared a little bit to the, think of the ones in that race. You know, if they would have been getting ready for the race and casually walked over and talked to the spectators, and suddenly the trumpet went and the rest were gone. They were shot way out ahead. You know, but that, I don't believe that happened. That doesn't happen, because it's, they're waiting for that countdown and that time to go. But in a sense, isn't that the way we should be? We got to be alert, to be careful, and to keep our focus right. And if we could just do that one time and be done, wouldn't that be wonderful? But it's not the way it is. As long as we're here, it's something we have to keep focused on. It's something that we have to keep reminded of. That's why we have services like this, to examine ourselves and to look. You know, there can be many things that drag us down or draw us aside. But it's a real race. You know, in the preceding chapter, Paul gives an example of many that were in this race, many that were faithful in that race, and that were victorious. And, you know, if we're going to obtain the crown, we're going to have to, like those ancient runners, put everything into it, lay aside every weight. And the beauty, the blessing is every one of us can be a winner. It's not just the one that's ahead, but we can all. And the difference is that we're all there pulling for each other instead of trying to kick somebody off and hoping we can get ahead of somebody. It's something as collectively that we're together. We want to see everybody win this race. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, I had to think of King David when he went out after Goliath there, and he was explaining to Saul, this young shepherd boy, he wasn't king at that point, but this young shepherd boy comes in there, and he says, "What's the matter with y'all? You're letting this man defy God." And he said, and he goes to King Saul, and King Saul looks at him, and he says, "Well, you're going to have to put on my armor. You don't have armor. You can't go like that." And, you know, David put that on, and, you know, David was used to being out there, and he was used to, you know, he had fought the bear and the lion without any big armor. And he, you know, he had done a lot of practice. He knew how to throw those stones. He knew, but just imagine putting all that armor on and being able to swing and sling that stone like he was used to. It would have never worked. And he, that was a weight that would have got him down. And, you know, and we have to be careful not to let the things of this life weigh us down. The things that, you know, maybe things that aren't wrong in themselves, but if they're weighting us down, if they're dragging us back, if they're going to get in our way, then it's not for us. And we shy away from the word sin, the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, we don't like to think of things as sin. Not really, you know. It's not something we like to look at that way. But it's, you know, sin. It's as old as mankind. It's the source of all the pain and the woes. When we look at all the things that are going on out there, all the sorrows, the griefs, and the things that aren't fair, you know, we were born with that sinful nature, and we're going to deal with this old flesh as long as we live. Look at Noah. You know, God saved him and his children. People of great faith. People that saw the flood come and the devastation. But how long was it after that they fell into sin again? Man's natural tendency is downward. This world we're living in has a constant downward pull. And Satan doesn't care how he gets us as long as he has us. You know, we're all made up differently. What I struggle with might be something that you don't struggle with. But we're individuals that we each have our own peculiar things that we deal with. And we know, I think I can tell you what mine is. You could tell me what yours is. It's just the way we're made up. We know what we struggle with. But it's always easier we feel better, you know, looking out there and picking out somebody, you know, we see that problem over there. We know, you know, that, but it's not as bad as what, I mean, it's worse than what I deal with. You know? Isn't that our tendency? We like to look out there instead of examining ourselves like these verses talk about. Let each examine himself. You know, Moses was a great man, but he had problems with impatience and anger, and it cost him dearly there at the end. But ultimately, he made those things right. He was a man of God, but it kept him from going in this life, going into the promised land. Saul started out as a king, great man, a humble man, but jealousy poisoned his life, pride. David, a man after God's own heart, let sensuality corrupt his life. That verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, it's only by looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, looking and keeping our focus on him that we can live in victory. And I don't believe it's God's will that anybody in this lives in this life of a life of constant defeat. You know, the picture of the cross must be real in the minds of believers. You know, if we can keep our focus on what Christ has done for us. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, there's nothing. There's nothing to be gained. It's all going to go away. And I think it's important to note that this question was asked by the only one who was ever offered the whole world and refused it. You know, how many times do we see people willing to sell their soul, not even for the whole world, but for some dust, for some honor that will soon pass away, for a bowl of pottage like we read about there in the last verse, for a moment of pleasure? You know, men are willing to sell their souls. You know, Brother Joseph read that verse out of Hebrews, that he was Christ, the perfect example. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So it is possible for us to have victory and overcome. The way that Christ fought the temptations, I believe, is an example to us, the same way that we can take, that we must take, the no delay, immediate refusal, using scripture text to reply to the tempter. That same word of God is our defense. You know, the psalmist said there, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And what Christ starts, he finishes. He's promised to see us through to victory. Why did he finish? For the joy that was set before him, the joy of presenting his bride, the church, before the Father one day. You know, when someone has a physical, gets, let's say, a fever, you know, what do we think of when there's a fever? Tylenol, ibuprofen. You know, that'll get it down. But, you know, if this continues, we're going to want to know why we're running a fever. Sometimes it's obvious. Other times it's hard to find. But, you know, a good doctor will not be satisfied with a guess. He will run tests till he finds the cause of the fever. To get to the bottom, to the root of it, if we're truly honest with ourselves and open ourselves up to Scripture, the great physician, I believe, has promised he will show us where the problem is, the reason we're struggling. I believe his spirit will be faithful in pointing out those areas that need to be pruned, those things that need to be cut off. You know, sometimes it's maybe painful, but the fruit will be a blessing to us and to those around us. John 15, if you want to turn with me, I'd like to read a few verses out of the first five verses of John 15. Very familiar verses there on the vine and the branches. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You know, where do we find ourselves this morning? Are we bearing fruit? Are we willing to let ourselves be purged, to let the Word of God cleanse us, that to wash us? As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Are we find ourselves this morning, are we abiding in Christ? Are we willing to let him prune us? Too many times I think we focus on the offshoots or on the symptoms instead of focusing on the problem. The thing that is dragging us down, the one that weakens us, the one that keeps pulling us. We see why the apostle says we must lay aside every sin. We need to focus on the thing, on what is really causing the issues. In the Old Testament, one of the famous battles there were the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Israel, Ahab, went out to fight against the fortress of Ramoth-Gilead. Went out to fight the Syrian army under the command of Ben-Hadad. And before that battle, the king of Syria pulled together his 32 captains. And he told them, he gave them instructions. He said, fight neither small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And he knew that when the king was killed, the battle would be won. He was the one that was against Syria. And we know how the story goes. Ahab disguised himself. He outfitted himself like a regular soldier. He didn't want them to know where he was. But, you know, he couldn't avoid the judgment of God. It says, a certain man drew a bow at venture and smote Ahab, king of Israel, between the joints of the harness. Mortally stricken, Ahab turned his chariot out, out of the battle. He left. He died. At the going down of the sun, it says, after his death, the army was soon defeated. The fallen king meant a fallen cause. And I think we can compare this to the welfare of life. You know, we can make war on that. Focus on the real problem. What is dragging us down? Fight neither with small nor great, save against it. You know, we can, with the Lord's help, conquer the besetting sin. And then I believe we're on the road to victory. You know, it's the way, you know, when we try to dig up a tree or a bush, we start digging around. We start cutting off all these little roots. And, you know, we can have it cut totally round, but it doesn't come up. It has a tap root that goes straight down. When we get underneath and get that cut, then the tree can be pulled. I think too often we're working on these little things around the perimeter, and we don't get to the bottom of things. I think I gave this illustration here before one time, but sometimes things can look so real, so clear, you know, perfectly fine. But I stopped at late brother neighbor's house, Jim Cavasino's, quite a few years back, and he wanted me to come up and drive a fence post for him. And he said, I've got a driver. I told him I'd bring a driver, and he said, no, I've got a driver you can use. So I went up, and I got his post driver. He wanted to put a little, that might still be there, a little pipe down from his porch down to a fence post, so he had a rail. So I took that driver out, and I started beating on that post, and that it just bounced. Post didn't move, and I couldn't figure out. I thought it must be in a root. It kind of had that feeling that post was on a big root. So I moved it. I tried again. That post would not move. And I just, everything looked fine. I was over the post. I was beating, and it wouldn't move. And I was absolutely stumped. I've driven a lot of posts, and I couldn't. So I turned it, and I let the sun shine down in there. That looks funny down there. So it took me about 20 minutes. I dug, and I dug, and got some wire, and dug, and finally I pulled a wad of stuff out of there. Now I'm ready to go. So I went over there and gave a wham, and it was a crunch sound, and rocks and gravel started coming out. After a couple more whacks, a bunch more gravel came out. And then, when everything was out, when I was down on the solid, the post went in like it was supposed to, no problem. But you know, when I think in the same way, when we let the sunlight of God's Word, when we let shine into our hearts, and we ask the Lord, you know, to search our hearts and to see and to show us what's in there. I think He will show us. And in this case, I don't know. According to Jim, there was an enemy that was trying to be cantankerous, and that's why that got in there. I don't know how it got in there, but in the Christian life, that's the way it is a lot of times. There, we have an enemy that's trying to cloud things, that's trying to cover it up. It all looks fine on the outside there. Nothing looked wrong with it. I could look inside. I couldn't see anything wrong until I turned it to where the sun could shine in there. You know, how often do we have everything right on the outside? You know, we can say the right things. We can do the right things. But when it really comes down to where the rubber meets the road, things just don't work. There's a problem. We have an old rag or some rock tucked away where nobody sees. We don't have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We don't have a direct connection. You know, it can be anger. It can be gossip. It can be being cynical. You know, what is it that we're dealing with? It can be feeding the flesh and the things we read and the places we go. You know, where do we... Well, you know, only you know that personally. But those kind of things will drag us down. Those kind of things will keep us from having the energy that we should have in our Christian life. You know, it makes us so where we're in no shape for the race. Temptations come, we don't have the strength to stand. You know, the way of the cross leads to eternal life. The straight road, and it may sometimes be, we might find ourselves on a lonely road, but you know, Christ is there. He's promised to be with us. You know, the alternative is damnation. I heard a song recently, and one phrase in it stood out to me. It says, "We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun." You know, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Witness here is used in the sense of one who has stood for the truth of God. And that's where the word martyr comes from. One who witnesses for God. The glorious company of all those who have lived and died for the faith. Those who were faithful. And that in Christ were conquerors. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, what he says in this verse, I believe, comes from one of the greatest portions of the Bible, a chapter where he has called the roll of some of the greatest heroes of our faith: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Samuel, David, the prophets. You know, what a blessing that we have that word recorded. And I don't think that's necessarily saying that all these Old Testament saints or martyrs are necessarily literally cheering us, but they're there to spur us on. They're there to encourage us. Their faith, their examples, their testimony. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day." The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Where do we find ourselves? On the path of the just? Or in darkness and stumbling? "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Excuse me. "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." put away from thee. A froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Guard your heart above anything else that you have, because it determines the kind of life you'll live. The heart is the master control of the life. A wrong heart always produces a wrong life. To allow sin into the heart is to pollute the entire life. It also warns us to guard our lips. You know, the heart controls the tongue. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And a guarded heart should result in guarded lips. A Christian's words must always be spoken in love, Ephesians 4:15, but be speaking the truth in love. And then 4:31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And he don't leave us there, he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's probably one of the first verses we learn, but how important it is. And it's so easy to forget. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Have you ever seen anyone desperately running in a race, desperately trying to get somewhere, and things flying as they go because they're hindering him? You know, it can be because of competition. It can be because of something out there that they're desperate to get to. But I've seen that already, and I think we can all picture that in our minds. But you know, that's this morning. Is that the way are we looking at our Christian life like this? Whatever, anything that's pulling us down, I want to put it away. I want to get rid of it. Doing everything to gain the speed and the momentum and cover the ground. Paul, the apostle, is talking about growth and progress. How do we reach the goal that God has set for us? Excuse me, I might have to shut down early here. You know, we have to be honest with ourselves, admit where we are. You know, that's hard. The flesh cringes. Forget the past, like Paul says. Press forward. And the Christian life isn't a game. It's a race that demands the very best, all that we can give it. We must be faithful to the end. Ponder. In Proverbs 5:21, he says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." You know, if God is pondering our goings, shouldn't we not be pondering our lives, pondering to see where we are? There's a quote, "The unexamined life is not worth living." You know, I know what it's like looking back as my youth growing up, looking at times that you come to council meeting and you try to straighten some things up, but you know that most likely how long is it going to last? You know, that's not where we find true peace, true victory. True victory is in completely giving them over to the things we're dealing with to God. And know the peace that comes from doing that and from knowing that you have peace, knowing that things are clear and right between me and God. Our duty to the brotherhood, those verses are read there, Hebrews 12:12. "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Follow peace with all men. You know, I think we're called to reach out, to help each other on in this race, in the Christian life. You know, where it's not about me, it's about us. It's about each other, the duty to the brotherhood. And that's the blessing of brotherhood. You know, let's strive to live in the light of God's Word, to let His light shine in there and show us what we need to do, what places we need to work with, to direct our path and to perfect our path for the glory of Christ Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.